Just About Coping, a real-life drama from the psychotherapist chair by Dr. Natalie Corley, read by Melissa Vaughan, including an exclusive Q&A with author. To Jared, and to all of my patients who have taught me about resilience and the joy of connection. A note on the text. To respect the privacy of friends and colleagues, I have altered various personal details. All characters, both patient and personal, are composite characters. To maintain patient confidentiality, I have anonymized names and changed demographic information, clinical details, dates, times, and places. Chapter 1. The Activating Event. The Attachment. I cross the room in the dark and perch on the corner of the bed, too exhausted to look for the light switch. This tiny room, attached to a hospital somewhere on the outskirts of London, is my new home. But this is not where I'm supposed to be. I am supposed to be moving into a riverside flat in Manchester, with cream carpets, a double bed piled high with throw pillows, and bespoke ceramic tiles in the kitchen. The only tiles here are four cracked white squares above a corner sink, my new bathroom, and the bed is sadly single. I prepare dinner, a bag of Quavers I bought on the train. Bursting the packet open sends a cheesy-smelling plume into the air, and its familiarity brings a little comfort in this alien space. To try to stay strong, I remind myself I was lucky to get this free accommodation and the chance to work as an assistant psychologist earning the living wage. Well, the minimum wage. Well, the minimum wage eventually. I am starting on an honorary contract, meaning I won't get paid until I prove myself. I eat the last quaver, and my thoughts return to the event that propelled me here. I noticed him at a party in Leeds. We were first-year students navigating the world away from home. He was in a group of boys, identically dressed in white shirts, striped ties, and cream chinos, all gliding into medical school from public school. I was fascinated by their behaviours. No one in my family went to public school. From a distance, clutching my warm Prosecco, I watched them compete in drinking races, then gaffer-tape bottles to their wrists and shout, "Amy Winehouse!" As they erupted into laughter, I crossed the room and, emboldened by booze, lifted his shirt and suggested a new competition based on physique. For this medical school rugby team, shirts off was a welcome challenge, and I met his gaze with an approving smile while the others rushed to strip down. He introduced himself as Steve, then introduced his friends by their nicknames. "This is Oinko," so named because at school he looked a bit like a pig. "And this is my friend Fish," because he once had his hair cut like a monk, which evolved into Monkfish, which devolved into Fish. The guy called Burger, it turned out, had once eaten 5 burgers in one go. This was 7 weeks in at university, and my inferiority complex had been peaking. Apparently, my Manchester accent made me difficult to understand, with one student even calling out, "I'll read, duck," something I have never said in my life. I wasn't an all right duck, more a fish out of water. And on top of this, I was studying psychology, which in the eyes of the medics was a soft science, the clown school of medicine, and of little significance to patient care outcomes. I was desperate to be accepted, but now I had got myself noticed by a medical student, a public schoolboy, destined to be a doctor. Placing doctors on a pedestal is common. The distance makes it acceptable for them to put their hands on our chests and cut into our flesh. At times of deep distress, we don't want to think of them as mere mortals. We need to believe they can fix us. Once, when I saw a surgeon struggle with the ring,